I'm gonna read some things that's directly from some paperwork, and I guess you maybe could fill in the dots as far as, now this is the paperwork around that government informant called Harold, the guy you spoke on a little bit earlier called Harold Mills. Now, from what I'm reading on here, you know, it has the question and answers, and he was talking about the answer was Nigel and okay. Now, during 92 and 99, while you were in jail, did you still have contact with Terry Fennery? This was the actual conversation that you said that he was having from inside of jail that ultimately got T. That's what he was speaking to, right. Tony.
Yeah, he was talking. Now, he was actually speaking with the grand jury. You're going to see a name there named, a dude named Roland West and another guy named D.D. That's me. I'm D.D. That's me. So he was telling on me, I've been knowing H and Tony and them since 1986, 87. I've been knowing her a long time. So I know this. Tony been back there since she's been around for a long time. So, yeah. So he's actually talking to the grand jury when he's saying that. Those papers are coming. Those are direct questions that's coming, that's being asked by the grand jury. And he's out there giving our names and dates. Yeah. That's what that's for.
I'm trying to get to it right now. I end up seeing a picture with Kim Kardashian standing next to a man. I believe his name is Damian Thompson.
Damian Ewing Thomas. He's the cousin of Puff, of Sean Puffy Combs, the first cousin of Sean Puffy Combs. That's how we met him.
And what was his relationship with, why is Kim Kardashian with him?
He was married to Kim Kardashian. That was her first husband before she married the basketball player.
And he was a part of BMF?
Yes, he introduced us to a lot of other different celebrities, you know, not besides Puffy. We met him through Puff. That's Puff's cousin. So that's how we met him. And he knew a lot of other different people and a lot of other different connections. You know, he was a producer. So he knew a lot of other different things. And through him, you know, the family met a lot of other different people.
Now, as far as, I'm not, you could correct me as far as the actual dates. There was actually two times that Big Meech was on probation. Was both times inside of Atlanta?
Yes.
Okay. What ended up happening, or the story based around this, I believe it was the second time, as far as like a possible gun charge or something like that?
That was the first time. That was when he was on probation. He was under house arrest. He had his house over in Stone Mountain. Then he got pulled over. They were targeting him anyway. So they had pulled him over, did a regular traffic stop, pulled him over. And then some other people had showed up, and it was a gun in the car. And you had a few guys that was in the car with him, you know what I'm saying? The rapper, you had, you know, the little Indian, and you had my man Throwback, and you had a couple other, you had another guy in the car, and Demetrius. So what had happened was they came in and they was like, well, whose gun is this? And wouldn't none of these guys say nothing? Nobody said nothing. And then my man, only one guy spoke up. He's like, man, that's my gun. The people, my man Throwback said, that's my gun. His name David Walker. They called him Throwback. He was like, no, that's my gun there. And the people, the police, they pulled up on him. They was like, no, that's not your gun. That's his gun. They were trying to put the gun on Demetrius. You know what I'm saying? But he was like, now, how you going to tell me what the hell that ain't? So, bam, my man took the rap. But the rest of them guys stood around, man. They all turned their back like, shit. Like, they wasn't going to take the rap. At that point right there, I told dude, send them niggas home, man. And how you gonna sit there and not let the boss? How you gonna let the boss fall? What kind of dudes is that's what y'all here for, man? Y'all smoking mirrors. Y'all been sitting around here eating and everything. Man, I told dude, and every time I came in off the road, I would tell dude and them, when I got back, when I see him, I said, man, was you boys still here? Man, what is you doing? But dude loved them boys. I liked them too, but they just wasn't, you know, it was useless. You know what I'm saying? It was just smoking mirrors for real. We already knew what it was. This, let me tell y'all something. This been going on since the 80s. We had perfected this. These guys was just, they just came in 2001, 2002.
Yeah, we used to put stuff up in the Crunchy Munch boxes, and then people go in there and grab them out. Hey, you know, we know how many in there take you one and get your ass on. Don't go in there and take no more. We already know what it is, and when you leave, we gonna check it anyway, so don't play no games. But we used to come up in here to the gas station, man. That's where we used to make our sales. We used to walk right here, back down here through the path from the Meacham House. All that's right around the corner. And we used to come here, man. This is another one of our spots that we did.
You know what I'm saying? Blue came in the 99. We met Blue out in Gardena. He used to get the bud and the pills. That's all he was. We met him through a guy out there. I ain't going to say his name, but we met him through he's a director out there. We met him through him. That's how we met. And Blue just never went away. And then he just started bringing other people over and bringing other people in. They didn't have no real functions there other than the smoke and mirrors. That's what they were. I loved the guys, though. They were good guys.
Right.
I loved it.
So you know, given the title, like smoke and mirrors, quote unquote, like decoys and stuff like that, besides just like the partying and everything else that was associated, because I think from the viewer aspect of people, not just the viewers that's watching this particular interview, but people that's been watching this either quote unquote case or all the documentaries and everything, they consistently would see certain faces around Meach all the time. So I'm assuming that they felt like they maybe have played a bigger role than they may have. Like on a day-to-day basis, like normally what would these guys really be doing if they wasn't partying?
They slept through the day and partied at night. Now, sometimes when the bags show up, they'll grab, you know what I'm saying? They'll go in, they'll move the stuff from out of whatever it comes in, and then, you know, bam. They'll stack it or whatever, and they'll go in and they'll make sure they'll prep the transportation or whatever it is. And basically, that's all they done. They didn't do nothing. That's how they received their checks. That's how they received their checks. In the meantime, they was, you know, that's how they received their checks.
And when you say prep the cars, you mean like cleaning the cars and stuff like that?
Load, unload, clean. You know what I'm saying? That's it.
Right.
They never did no odor roll work. They never did nothing like that. They didn't. Their risk was very, very low. You know what I'm saying? We've already had this machine running. So we're not trying to put no people in no positions. They were not suited for the task. So they just had minimal jobs. Basically what they done was they were smoking mirrors. That's all they were. They were just faces that was around me, and they got famous for that. If it wasn't for them just hanging around, dude, you wouldn't even know these guys. They had no role at all whatsoever. And really in the game, I ain't saying that they wasn't around. They done seen a few things, but they were not really a part of the machine.
Around, you say Blue came around 99. Shortly after, or when did Young Jeezy really kind of appear and come up on the scene? The reason why I asked that is because, you know, just to clarify, to see, did Jeezy end up being the individual that was solid through and through?
Man, I love that guy right there, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna have to not say nothing about him because of his position today. You know what I'm saying? I don't want, you know, I'm just gonna, that subject right there with him, I just put it this way. Man, you know, he's the snowman. He's 100, dog.
Right.
He 100. That's it. That's I ain't gonna say nothing else about the you know.
Okay.
Because he's in a delicate position right now. I ain't got, you know.
Right. Well, I respect that. I get, you know, so I'll say the next question, but the reason why I ask that is because I would just, for myself, I don't want to say invested, but just watching everything that was going on, I just seen how hard it appeared when, you know, Blue first came home that he was just constantly talking about, you know, old boy not putting money on, you know, Big Meach books and all this stuff like that. So I guess I was just wondering, you know, but you say he's a solid cat. So
Da Vinci, I know you were, what exactly were you charged with?
Conspiracy with intent to distribute.
And that was with the whole entire BMF bust, right? Where a lot of people ended up going to prison.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're raising a lot of hell right now because, you know, you recently just said that Young Jeezy's fan base is all homos. You said the homo community loves Young Jeezy.
Yeah, they love him.
But I thought Young Jeezy was part of the whole BMF movement.
I mean, he was. But it all used to be.
We had Jeezy up here a couple months ago. Jeezy said him and Meech are still cool. So he talks to Meech, and Meech talks to him about what's going on in the club scene, what's going on in the streets.
Yeah, but what about this appealing lawyer? Yeah, he ain't doing what he's supposed to do, man, period. At the end of the day, you know, if you could get Meech on the phone right now, it'd be a different tune that he's singing.
So what you're saying is that Jeezy has not put up the money for the appeal for Big Meech?
Exactly. I mean, he won't do nothing, period. You know, at the end of the day, man, like I just talked to the big homie recently, and he's like, man, it's crazy that, you know, the part of the fam, the rapper that was connected with the fam that ended up having, you know, much success, you know, that's, you know, he doing his thing and he's really in a position to make a difference in Meech's life right now. He ain't really stepping up to the plate right now. And it's crazy that I got to come home, rebuild this BMF brand from ground zero and do it all on my own, you know?
Has anybody had a conversation with Jeezy? Have any of y'all, you know, ever stepped to him?
Hey, look, man, I hit, you know, I came home, I tracked his number down, I called him. I'm like, what up, this Blue? He like, Blue who? And it's Blue Da Vinci. He say, oh, what's up? I said, man, what's going on, man? Let's sit down, man, so we can chop it up and figure out the move, man, with the players. All right, let me hit you right back. So, you know, 2 days passed. My people from Detroit hit me like, man, a man got to show at the Fox Theater to call him so we can get some tickets to come. I said, all right, let me call him. I called his phone, the number was changed. I said, what part of the game is this? This must be overtime right here. You know, I ain't gonna say I hate the man or nothing like that, but my whole thing is, man, just keep it honest, man. Keep it real. If the people on your back and you can't do nothing, or, you know, you set something up, or they said, you know what?
What's your question? As close as Jeezy was to the situation, how did he avoid getting, you know, indicted and all that good stuff?
Man, listen, man, that's the million-dollar question. The man's name in more paperwork than me.
Let me ask you a question. When you say Jeezy's name is in paperwork, what you mean Jeezy's name is in the paperwork?
It ain't no, I don't think his name is in paperwork. I got the paperwork.
Like, but you said that there's paperwork. That where Jeezy is talking, or you just said there's statement? Like, what statements
are
made?
I'm not gonna
disclose what the statements is, but they was made against him. I'm not saying that he made statements.
Okay, thank you. I just want to clear that up.
I don't have paperwork saying that he made statements. I wouldn't do nobody like that.
All right,
you know?
I just want to clear that up. All right.
Yeah, what that is really him and Gucci Man was, they came along. And they was moving, but Blue was there first. And Blue was never, his stuff was never moving. Nobody really liked his stuff. You know, you got guys like Fabulous and Akon, all these guys, they around. You know what I'm saying? But they nobody's feeling Blue's vibe. Blue, he's trying to do something. We were trying to put something behind him to make this move. And he was whack. Nobody liked it. I didn't like his music. I didn't like that. I didn't like nothing. You know what I'm saying? He was arrogant for no reason at all. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have no humility, no humble. He was not a humble guy. He's a very arrogant, you know what I'm saying, person. You know what I'm saying? He's hard to like. You know what I'm saying? I didn't care for the guy. He's an okay dude, but I mean, you know, it is what it is. But again, Jeezy and Gucci was around, so he had to choose who he wanted to out. So they all went against, he tried to turn people against Gucci. You know what I'm saying? And then Gucci went on. That's what that incident that happened down there. He had tried to turn himself against Gucci and team up with Jeezy. As soon as Gucci was gone, then he jumped on Jeezy's back. You know, then he tried to push Jeezy out. You know what I'm saying? But Jeezy was already an intricate part of this, so it wasn't nothing he can do about that. So when he come home, he wants to say, well, you ain't doing this for dude and you ain't doing that for dude. That was all just to pick with him to try to extort money out this man. Because he ain't doing shit for dude neither.
Yeah.
I saw him at the club down here when I came home here in Detroit, and he was like, yeah, man, I'm just doing this for dude. I said, man, dude don't need your money. You don't need nothing from you, dude. I said, you doing that shit for yourself, dude. You know what I'm saying? I don't let lying, man. Nobody trying to hear that. But I already knew what I was going to do to him anyway. Yeah. I just was biding my time. I knew what I was going to do to all. I got them all. I'm going to get them all. Ain't nobody going to survive the toll on this. Anybody that told, you better come on and fess up before I tell it.
That's real. Because you over 40,000 pages of documents. People can't argue with paperwork, you know.
That's right. BMF got bad guys. And guess what? I'm going to be exposing y'all ass. We got bad guys too.
And you know, of course, this particular question, of course, you know, is not from the angle of like the details of and for me to, I have to say, you know, my condolences and rest in peace to the individual named Wolf. But I'm just wondering, you know, is there, as far as just that whole situation, Wolf, or just maybe the weeks leading up or the weeks after or anything like that, like, is there any stories around that particular time of what was going on in Atlanta that you would want people to know that people have never heard before dealing around that situation?
The days before that happened, each of them was down up there in New York with this guy at his family's house at a birthday party. We everybody got along. We were all good and everything. Everything was great. You know what I'm saying? So when we got back down there, it was this particular chick. You know what I'm saying? This little mixed chick that Wolf was seeing. And the car man, this another rat, his name is Eric Mark Whaley, a.k.a. Swift. I'm going to be bringing paperwork out on his ass, too. He was messing with this girl. So somebody seen it and called Wolf. And then Wolf showed up at the club and was like, "Yo, Meech, man, you know, man." So he's like, "Man, you know, and man, she ain't with me, man. You know, she over there messing with one of the dudes." And they was like, "Man, leave that girl alone. That's dude's girl. Leave her alone. You know what I'm saying? And let her go about her business. There's plenty of women in here, man. We ain't gonna fight over no women. So we ain't gonna argue about no women." So dude just went on, kept doing what he do, and you know, Wolf was like, he told her to come on, and she wouldn't leave.
Yeah.
So he got mad and he went back up to Meech, and Meech was like, "Oh man, listen, man, she ain't with me, dude." She's like, "Baby, you know, you got to go, because my man, you know what I'm saying?" So the security came up at that time and they seen it was getting out of hand. So they put dude Wolfing them out. So when dude then was coming out the club, Wolfing them was waiting on him. And if dude wouldn't have turned around and got hit in the ass, he would have shot Meech in his privates. And another guy got hit in the leg. The Indian got hit too. But somebody else laid them niggas down. And that's what happened. Mm-mm-mm. That's what happened, man. It was all about a brawl, man. It was some other things that was going on. And like I say, Puffy was a good friend of ours. He was a good friend of the family. And He didn't really need my man's services no more. He didn't really need his services like that no more. So this dude was, you know, he was going to try to, I guess, going to try to make a name off dude. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, shit, I don't, after that, that was it.
Yeah.
Him and his guy, you know, they killed him. Somebody killed him. It wasn't the family. I don't know who. I don't even know, bro. That's still a mystery to me. But I do have the interview after the lead detective, his name is David Vince Vasquez. He's the lead detective right now on the ATL homicide. He interviewed Demetrius down there. Demetrius chose to do the interview with him of the shooting after he got passed up at the hospital with no attorney. I have that document. I'll be presenting that to y'all too, so y'all can see it for yourselves. What this man was saying, so y'all can stop saying if there's any doubt out there about we had anything or Black Mafia family or Demetrius had something to do with that shooting, we gonna kill all that. I have that document. I have those documents. I think it's like 149 pages or something like that. I got it.
But it's a lot. It's a lot to you know, really digest, especially with everything starting in 85 to when, you know, everything end up going down. Is there any kind of, I don't know if you would call it an update, or that you know of dealing with Big Meech or T, or, you know, situation as far as, you got a lot of people, oh, he may come home early or he's coming home next year. Every, you know, all the time you see these headlines of different people putting up videos, you know, saying this and that, you know, what's your thoughts on it as far as from what you know about Meech's situation?